Adventure awaits at every turn in Cedar City, Utah. Hike through breathtaking Red Rock Canyons, bike along scenic trails, and catch a show at the Utah Shakespeare Festival. There's so much to discover in Cedar City, Utah. Check out visitcedarcity.com to learn more.
A podcast network.
Welcome to Two Filthy Nerds. That clap scares my dog as well, and it has just scared our amazing co-host.
The person who's not afraid of any scary movie was afraid of a clap.
Oh, literally. You guys, welcome. Really quickly, we are on a temporary hairy hiatus. If you haven't heard, we are taking a pause because Nicole is back home with family. So we are giving you lots of other fun content, including some reality TV. Yes, The Bachelorette. I realize some of you aren't fans of that. Some of you are. If you love The Bachelorette, we've already heard from you. If you're secretly like, why The Bachelorette instead of Harry Potter? Again, we're just on pause. Skip over the ones labeled Bachelorette, and we have hot Halloween stuff coming in for you. Okay, before I really introduce Samantha, I want you guys, what we're doing is we are going through, in Samantha's opinion, the best and most important four films of her favorite horror movie franchise.
It's not opinion, it's a fact.
All right, well, well, we're coming out with the bold statements.
We're off to a good start.
Well, because I have never seen almost anything in general, but especially horror movies, and I've never seen this franchise at all.
God, that breaks my heart. It hurts.
I mean, I just, the truth is, I'm a huge pussy. And I'm like, I'll have nightmares forever. Like, Captain Hook haunted my dreams from the animated Peter Pan.
I was going to give you some credit with Dustin Hoffman, but I'm taking that credit back.
Oh, that was way worse.
He said cartoon.
And Peter Pan's one of my favorite Disney films. But like, yeah, no, I think I saw, did you ever see, I don't know if they were home movies or something, but there was like these sing-alongs around Disneyland when there was, it was like all the costume characters
Have
marching
I
around
that?
Disneyland and
maybe?
Did that scare you? There was a video I watched that I think had them in full costume character and it haunted me.
Oh my gosh.
And that, but it's like, I know.
Should I not show you my Chernabog tattoo?
Oh my God, wait, let me see.
I do have the Demon King from Fantasia tattooed on my arm.
Oh my God. You are dedicated.
Yeah, or dead inside. I don't know.
It's which is which.
Which is know? Which.
Can you be alive and not and dedicated to anything?
Yeah.
When did your obsession, because you like all Halloween, all horror.
I do.
You guys, if you've seen the clip, you saw our background, if we put up a clip from this, but you can't see that I am in her home and it is covered in amazing Halloween decorations.
They're cute.
They're very adorable.
Yeah.
So when did your fixation begin?
I don't even know. Obviously, when I was young, I mean, I grew up, my parents split when I was little, so I was with my dad a lot of the time. So, you know, dads tend to show you the Arnold Schwarzenegger movies, The Predator and the Commando.
Yeah, my dad
and all that.
Went True Lies.
Oh, yeah.
And that's how I know our lead character.
I'm just like a couple smidge years older than you, I think.
Oh, maybe. What? I'm so young.
Just a tiny one. Okay.
Yeah, I was a newborn when True Lies came. That's a lot. I was in my crib and he's like, watch this.
You were like, daddy. I don't know. I mean, like the idea of horror movies for some reason feel really nostalgic to me and they feel really like, kind of brings out my inner child.
Was that like a bonding thing with your dad?
It may have been, and it may have just been, I was just a weird kid. Like my favorite movie as a kid was The Witches with Angelica Houston.
That terrifies
me. Yeah. I watch it now. I'm like, that's a dark, 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 terrible child murdering movie.
Like,
and
like,
I loved it. I loved it.
That movie scared the fuck out of me. Like, honestly, this is a fucked up sentence I'm about to say. And
say it.
I mean, our producer might even cut it out.
Uh-oh.
Thank God I never met anyone going through chemotherapy right after seeing The Witches because.
Oh, no, I understand.
Because yeah. I think in my little, this is so fucked up. Why am I saying this? I feel like in my little brain, I would just, any bald woman would have thought
they were a witch.
And I mean, as if anyone going through that isn't going through enough without a little kid being like, Mom, a witch.
I know. Oh,
why did I make it so sad?
I don't know.
So witches, because I feel like that was kind of weird, but wasn't it a Disney movie? Like it was supposed to be?
I don't think it was Disney.
It wasn't Disney.
But the movie that was Disney that you watch it as an adult and you think, oh my God, this is, we can curse, right?
Oh yeah.
This is dark as fuck. Like this is so dark. Like this is really, really scary is Return to Oz. That is Walt Disney.
That's Disney. Yes, that's Disney. I just watched that this year.
Yeah. I mean, and that was Fairuza Balk's like big debut, which is great because she then obviously went on to play one of the most iconic horror characters, Nancy from The Craft.
Yeah. Which, by the way, I just watched last night.
I cannot believe you've never seen that movie.
For the first time.
Until last night.
And yeah, she is truly terrifying.
Because she's such a good actor.
Yeah. That like, she was just able to convey that like super crazy look.
Just with a look of her eye, just like a small gesture. And you're like, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to.
Yeah. They were like, oh, you're.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mind blowing.
Yeah.
And what a career path.
Yeah. Right. I mean, she's been in a lot of things. She was in American History X. She was the girlfriend. And she was in, Waterboy?
As if I have seen that, and I also haven't seen American History X.
Oh, that's a great
And she was
movie.
In Waterboy. I know that.
You've seen that?
Yes.
Okay. You don't really get a lot of credit for that. But
I know.
It's okay.
No one is ever going to give me credit for that. Are you kidding?
It's okay. But yeah, and then the first movie, and the only movie to absolutely ruin my childhood was Stephen King's It. You know, the original, the first one that came out in the, what was it, like 89 or 90?
Yeah.
Because Tim Curry is an absolute genius. He's a genius.
I mean, he's brilliant in everything he does.
Everything he does is amazing. But I watched it. I was way too young. I was maybe 8. And I watched it and I had the most horrific night terrors. It was so bad. It was just brutal for me. I couldn't sleep. I remember my dad had a white glove for some reason. I don't know why he had just a single white glove, which is kind of creepy in and of itself, but I was so scared of that glove.
Some Michael Jackson impersonator on the weekend.
Apparently. I'm like, okay, dad, you pay the bills to do what you gotta do. But I made him burn it. I was so afraid of it. And I had nightmares for years. And then I tried when I was maybe 12, I tried to watch it again. I said, no, face your fears. It's not that bad.
That is brave of you.
Yeah. Well, not very smart though, because it ruined my life for another year. and you know, what's the weirdest thing? I don't know why I just remembered this. Probably. Do you ever have nightmares that are just so intense that you will never forget it?
Yeah.
There's only a few because when you get older.
The first dream I remember having was a nightmare.
Oh, no.
And it was like a fire nightmare.
Oh, that's awful.
Yeah, yeah.
I would have swapped you for the fire because I had a dream. This is so bad.
Oh, no.
Okay, but no, it's really funny because I had a dream that Pennywise was stalking me in a Target.
That sounds like a Target commercial.
I know. He popped out from behind a rack of sweaters. And like, I don't know why I remember
this. Oh, my God. At least you were in a Target. What if it had been a Walmart?
Oh, even more terrifying. Yeah. I can't handle that. And then like another year later, I tried to watch it. It still horrified me for like 6 months. And then when I was maybe 14, 15, I watched it again and I was fuming. I was furious. I was like, fucking clown, if you were real, I'd kick your ass. You ruined me. I was so bad.
You were like taking out all your anger on this clown.
I was screaming at the television. Like,
were
in
you
a room
alone?
By my
were you have friends there?
No, I was alone. I was definitely alone. I'm not letting anyone see that. But now I can watch it anytime and I love it.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a true testament to facing your fears.
I suppose so. Thank you for letting me think of it that way because I used to think I was just crazy.
I mean, yeah, you are.
But it worked out. Crazy brave.
Crazy brave.
Ta-da. That's it.
Crazy brave.
Crazy like, brave.
To be honest, I don't remember actually watching it. I just assume I watched it or came in the room when someone was watching it because for as long as I can remember, I've had a deep fear of clowns.
Yeah. Well, clowns, like real life clowns are awful. I mean,
yeah. When you look at John Wayne Gacy,
I was just going to say.
I knew you were going to say it.
Of course I was. You think I'm a horror nerd who doesn't know about serial killers?
I mean, those kind of go hand in hand, right?
I think this is a cry for help.
I mean,
But yes, they do. Well, they do because if you look at, like, take Ed Gein, for example.
Yes.
He was the, you know, crazy dude in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Several movies are based on him. The Psycho, Silence of the Lambs, and Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Are all based on things
They're all based on things he actually did.
Holy.
Yeah, really, really horrifying things that he did. Yeah.
Fuck. I mean,
so he was...
Creative,
but so he was raised with an insanely fanatical religious mother who was just insane and believed that all women were whores. And yeah, so that's psycho, right?
Yeah.
He actually did dig up his mother's corpse and bring it to his basement. And then he, so he kind of, and he created furniture out of skin, which is, you know, where we get Texas Chainsaw Massacre. So it's really scary. Like, real life is scarier than any horror film.
Oh, for sure.
And horror, if you think about it, it's a way to deal with our fears in a way that we know we can experience that fear, but we're going to be safe at the end of it.
That you can, like, close the book.
Right.
Is that kind of what you like about it?
I think so. I mean, I would think that people who've experienced a lot of painful, horrifying, scary things in real life, maybe they would gravitate towards it. Either you don't like it at all, or you gravitate towards it because it's a way of
kind of
exercising
that
fear. Yeah. Yeah.
That's interesting.
And if you think about even like the different categories of horror, the different genres, they're commentary on things that we're afraid of. If you look at zombies, for example, that's an exact commentary on consumerism. There's literally a movie where zombies take over a shopping mall.
No, God.
So it's just, we're all going to turn into these mindless consuming zombies, which we kind of are.
Oh, I mean, yeah, with phones, right? Especially.
And then you look at vampires, those movies like The Lost Boys and whatnot, they really kind of shot up in the 80s, early 90s. Think about it. That's kind of the fear of AIDS. That's a blood, a virus in your blood.
Oh my God. I just got chills.
Right. And it's, and it's, you know, AIDS is, it's a sexually transmitted thing. And so vampires are very sexy. They're very alluring. They're very, you know,
whoa.
Think about it. There's a lot going on behind our subconscious fears.
And then what was that movie that came out right at the beginning of coronavirus that was like,
gosh, there's so many.
No, there was like a Contagion.
Contagion's been around.
Wasn't there another one?
There's Contagion, there's Outbreak. I mean, there's tons.
I feel like maybe it had just gone onto Netflix or something.
Oh, there was one that went on it. Yeah. But what was it called? I know what you're talking about. It was like top 10 on Netflix.
And it was like a virus outbreak.
Right. And I didn't feel like watching it. I'm like, we're living it right now.
I had a brief moment where I was like, if we find out that this whole epidemic is a publicity stunt for this movie.
Oh my God.
Like, I was like, what if they just went deep
deep?
I will fucking murder someone.
That's one hell of a budget they would have.
I mean, yeah.
One hell of a PR. I'm going to hire that PR firm. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, fucking blow up my career.
Yeah, right?
Just like you did with this virus, I guess.
Outbreaks are a little more... I don't watch a lot of outbreak movies.
It's too... Oh, well, especially now. I don't think
Not now.
I don't know why anyone would after
this. But people were, which was shocking to me. I'm like, why do you want to watch this? But some people... I saw that Outbreak and Contagion were trending when COVID first
like
happened.
Lockdown and stuff. Yeah. I remember that too. And I was like,
those aren't my favorite kind of movies. Except for the fact that everyone says you have to watch Contagion because Gwyneth Paltrow dies. So they're like, you have
finally,
to watch it. You'll love it.
Some relief.
I know.
Enough of her.
I know.
I hope she drowns in a pile of whatever goop is.
I mean, oh God. Oh geez. She'd probably try to sell her dead body for $75 a fingernail and put it in a candle.
And she's like, it'll raise your energy.
Oh my God.
Vibrations.
She would.
The vagina candle. All right. Before we cut to commercial and then come back and dig into Halloween, this is your favorite franchise.
Yes.
What about it specifically, without going into like a spoiler, but like...
Listen, if I'm spoiling anything, if you haven't watched Halloween, that's your fault. It's your fault by now. I'm sorry. 78? That's your fault.
But like, what about this one makes it stick out among the others?
You know, I don't know if it's that I watched it at a certain time of my life where it was just everything... kind of resonated with me. I don't know. But the thing that I love about Halloween, we were mentioning this earlier, but it's not a gore fest. It's not a bloodbath. It's all psychological. It's one of the first films. It wasn't the first, but it was the first very successful film to introduce the killer's point of view.
Yeah.
But you never see any blood. If you think about it, you don't even see like a bloody knife. But the reason why I think I love it is the entire atmosphere of the movie. It's just so perfect. The wind in the trees, the fall light, Everything just screams Halloween to me. Like the kids trick-or-treating. I think because Halloween itself is my favorite holiday, and that's the thing that makes me feel like a kid.
And
this movie just, I mean, it's called Halloween,
but it
just, aside from Michael Myers himself, the movie just feels like Halloween time to me.
Yeah, which makes it a little,
which
brings
I
out
love.
Like extra spookiness in that.
Yeah.
That, I do understand like that nostalgia.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Well, we got a lot of, excuse me. We've got a lot to cover. I'm already flabbergasted.
Yeah, you've only had three sips.
I know.
What are you doing?
I had some witch's brew. We're going to take a quick commercial break and we will be right back. Welcome back, everybody. We're breaking down Halloween, which should somehow never got spoiled to me.
I don't know how that happened. I just don't understand.
I don't know either. And even the dog, you guys can't hear the dog just sighed, but he sighed.
He's
her
disappointed.
Literally sighed. So Halloween, as you were saying, obviously starts like it's on Halloween.
Yeah.
Which...
Well, I think he gets out of the mental hospital the day before. I believe it says October 30th.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it starts...
Well, it starts with him as a six-year-old.
That's right. Okay. So like we open on it's like the 60s, I guess. And that's so crazy that like it took me a minute to realize, because at first you see the outside of the house. Well, that you hear the voices of little kids trick-or-treating and see these little kids trick-or-treating. And then there's an angle on the outside of what we learn is his house. But at first I just thought it was like a camera angle. And I was like, well, this is kind of a cheap budget, the way it feels shot.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, this is the point of view of someone.
Through a mask. You realize those two little peepholes are what you would see if you were looking out of a Halloween mask.
Yeah. Which was, I feel like, really revolutionary for the time.
Yeah.
Like such a unique idea, and honestly a creative way to kind of shoot low budget style,
right?
And you see this little kid go in, grab a knife, which we learned while watching from one of our patrons,
Deborah Hill's hand.
It's so funny.
Producer's
it's supposed to be like
hand.
A six-year-old kid, but
it's a woman's
full-grown woman's hand.
Yeah.
Grab a knife and like you watch it, like him watch a guy that his sister just hooked up with.
Totally.
Walk out. And at the time, I didn't realize he's watching a sister. I'm picturing, because I will say what had been spoiled is, I know what Michael looked like.
With the mask?
Yeah. Well, in theory, at the beginning, I said
if
something about...
If you don't know... Okay, listen. Even if you've never seen, which shocked the hell out of me, that you've never seen A Nightmare on Elm Street, you still know what Freddy looks like, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Or you know what Jason Voorhees looks like.
Yeah. Although I will say at the beginning of this movie, I fucked up and said hockey mask.
She sure did. I almost kicked her out of the house.
And you're like, no, Jason wears the hockey mask. And I...
But Jason doesn't even put on the hockey mask until, I want to say, the third movie?
D3, Mighty Ducks.
I love
Well, now Mighty that's Ducks. Ruined. Now the other movies I've taken too long to see. Well, no, and the funny thing is then I was like, I guess if I thought about it, it's clearly not a hockey mask. But what I didn't know is that it's a William Shatner mask.
It sure is. It sure is. I mean, if you think about it, it seems quite random, but in the 70s, isn't that when Star Trek was really big?
It was like blowing up.
Yeah,
that's
so there
were
probably
it.
Tons of William Shatner masks.
That's
so
what's funny.
It's kind of similar in a sense to Ghostface from Scream, because that mask is kind of generic. It's not that specific.
Yeah, but now it's...
And there's probably tons of them that you could buy at any Halloween store.
Exactly.
That's why like the scene where Michael breaks into the hardware shop and the sheriff is like, oh, all he took was a knife and a rope and a couple masks. Probably get masks anywhere.
Yeah. He probably just happened to grab that mask. Or I wonder if there was thought behind.
Well, he had it before he broke in.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, you know.
Well, because that was the thing. When you were like, it's a William Shatner mask, my initial thought was, wow, so random. But then when you pointed out, no.
Kind of makes sense.
Because to me, it's like, that's such a silly random thing to find. But it's like, oh, no, that was.
Yeah.
Also, I guess now thinking about it, because we had said this off air, but I was like, it sort of looks like a melted William Shatner, but I don't know what he looked like when he was younger. I could see him looking a little melted. Yeah, he's just got that like glean.
Yeah. Well, the interesting thing about that is so you can still see his actual house. It's in Pasadena along with the Laurie Strode house. And Pee Wee Herman's house is right across the street.
That's amazing.
You know, and the Child's Play 2 house is up there too.
Whoa.
But there is, I think it's called the Sugar Mint Gallery, and it's on Mission. It's just a few houses up from where they moved to the Michael Myers house. So the Michael Myers house in the film is in one part of the neighborhood. I don't know if they were developing or they were going to knock it down, but they said, no, let's just pick it up and move it. So now the actual house is closer to the train tracks,
whoa,
which is where you see the hardware store that he breaks into in the movie. So it's like right there now.
That's right. But okay.
Yeah. So this Sugar Mint Gallery, it's kind of like a horror museum, and it's just a couple houses up. And if you go in, they have original stills and behind the scenes things. And they have the book from Hocus Pocus.
Oh my God.
Which is so cool. But they have the mold of Shatner's face.
That's
really cool. The mold that they created the mask from. Yeah.
I wonder if William Shatner masks like that had already existed. Like, were people really wearing William Shatner masks, or did they do it for this movie? Were they like, William Shatner, will you make a mask for us?
I don't know, but that would be pretty cool if he was like, yeah, I'll do it for your low budget movie. It was probably already a thing, I guess.
No, because there's probably been so much like aftermarket money made off of like memorabilia and stuff.
Yeah.
It's such a big movie.
Well, that's how these franchises keep going. It's really more, they make more money off the merchandise than the movie itself, I'm sure.
Oh, I'm sure. Especially because they can keep it so low budget.
Yeah.
Well, to keep the plot moving along, you basically see like just a hand through these like slitted eyes, you see like a knife going to a woman. So you don't?
Yeah. You don't see the blade go in, like insert into the flesh.
Yeah. You pointed out makes it more psychological.
I think so. Because when it's overdone, I mean, I know a lot of people are really into Hostel and things like that. But that Green Inferno, you know, things that sometimes it's like, okay, you're showing me too much.
I didn't even know Green Inferno was a movie.
Yeah, it's not pleasant. It's not pleasant to watch.
It sounds like it's not for me.
It's like these kids are supposed to go into the rainforest and they're actually there to save it. But the natives think that they're there to destroy their land. So they just full on torture them. It's sacrifice and all that shit. But some of it's like, I didn't need to see that. You could have let me imagine that and it would have been worse, because now I'm just like uncomfortable.
Now I'm just grossed out.
But some people enjoy that though. So yeah, I kind of feel like to each their own. Yeah.
Do you like the like kind of emotional rush you get out of stuff like this? How it's like edge of your seat?
I wish that I got on the edge of my seat.
Now you're just like this old hat.
Well,
old
I mean,
mask.
Yeah, I'm kind of the asshole who goes into like Halloween Horror Nights, for example. And, you know, the actor playing the killer clown, whatever, they're trying so hard to scare people. And I'm always the guy when they jump out at me, I'm like, oh, yeah, cool, bro. Looks good.
Great job.
I'm that guy. Like, they hate me. Because I can absolutely appreciate it, but I'm not going to scream like a little girl.
Yeah, you're like observing as a fan of the art.
Yeah, part of me is like, oh, I see how they did that. That's really cool. Part of me is like, wow, this is a really good actor. Part of me is like, oh, you know.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's also like a great way that they saved money on the budget was by these creative like angles of just seeing the knife, and then you just see sort of like,
yeah,
a little bit of a person like,
But some of the lowest budget horror films are the most successful. I mean, two examples that come to mind immediately are Paranormal Activity, which I think they made that. I don't know what the budget was, but it was like pennies compared to everything else.
Wow.
And they got it into, I want to say not Sundance, but Slam Dance, I think. I could be wrong, but they got it into like a major festival and it did so well. But that movie, you don't see
anything
really. Everything is psychological.
It's
everything
like in your mind.
It's all
like
in your mind.
Getting you revved up for what's about to happen.
And then the other one, of course, which you said you've seen, is The Blair Witch.
Yes.
Do you think they spent much money on that? Probably not.
No, but I remember, I think this must have just been a sign of my age, that I thought it was real. Well, I didn't know it was a horror. Like, me and my friends, I think we were in middle school, maybe late elementary school, but like, I think. We really thought it was a documentary.
But that's because they were doing their job. That's what they did. That was their entire marketing campaign.
That's how they marketed it?
They didn't advertise. They didn't have... Wait, oh, this was Paranormal Activity. I think they may have done that for both films. I'm not sure. But they didn't really have the actors... Oh, no, it was Blair Witch. They didn't have the actors out and...
As actors interviewing.
No. So you didn't know who these people were. That's why you didn't think they were actors.
Yeah, and it was
and
kind of like
because of the style of the camera and they made it... Like it looks like some kids out in the woods.
Yeah.
So that's why it worked so well.
And it was just like the inference.
Yeah.
And
nobody knew if it was real.
Yeah. I remember that definitely creeping me out, especially because we spend a lot of time trying to do witchy stuff in the woods.
Yeah.
Like me and my girl friends were early, you know, trying to do seances in the, and I lived in Alaska and the house I lived in at the time, like, the backyard just went into the woods.
Oh, that'll do it.
Which now I miss. Like I treasured. Like there was a trail I would walk through to get to my friend's neighborhood.
Yeah.
But then at night it was like, fuck that.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Ugh.
Well, I lived in Northern California for a year, like Santa Rosa area. And our backyard was a creek and it was just trees and it was pitch black. And that was when I was really having my Pennywise problems. And
I mean, yeah.
Yeah. I remember like I refused to wash the dishes at night because it was just like a big window into the dark woods. And I knew that he was out there and I would not watch if it was, I wouldn't wash them. I'd be like, no, no, mom, I have to do it in the morning. I'm not, she's like, wash the dishes. I'm like, no, he's going to kill me.
No, he's out there. Oh my God. And was he? The world may never know. Okay, so wait. We keep getting sidetracked, but that's fine because this is great. You see the scene where they reveal that it's this little kid. Because I thought, as someone who knows the movie, wow, it's just opening with him killing people. But I was like, oh, they're showing like...
Didn't see that coming.
Yeah, and it...
Where it started.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's taken to like a sanitarium, crazy house, whatever you want to call it, fucking asylum. And then it just cuts to like 15 years later.
Mm-hmm.
It's
now. So you never find out what his deal is. You don't know, oh, was he an abused child? Was he this? Was it a one-time thing? You don't know anything about him.
No. And it was like in the movie, it's like, that just seems like a cute kid.
And he's like a good looking kid too. He seems very sweet, all American, blonde haired, darling little cute thing. Dressed as a clown, which is like a cute kind of costume.
Cute little costume for a kid.
Yeah.
You know, it reminded me of, I once heard a story about, I think it was Ted Bundy. And I have no idea if this is based in truth. But that his parents had said when he had like a stepdad. So like his mom like remarried and he had like a shitty stepdad or whatever. But like,
oh yeah. Yeah.
There was some story that his mom woke up one night in bed and she and the stepdad were surrounded by knives. And then he was just standing there staring at them. He was like four.
Ooh.
And like laughing.
I haven't heard that.
And it's like, that's, I don't know. But it's also like, we have to keep barreling through the plot, but I'm like, what do you do if you're like, well, oh, my kid's a psychopath.
Right. But that's kind of the idea of Michael Myers is that, and that was the thing with Ted Bundy is like even his, so he was in a relationship when he started all the killings, he was with a woman and they seemed to have this wonderful relationship.
Who thought he was like a nice guy.
Right.
And like so she had no idea.
Right. But like even she later on would explain like the victim that got away, she said he just like his eyes just went black and he just wasn't there. He was just...
It was like something shuts off.
Yeah. So the idea with Michael Myers, I mean, it's even the famous quote that Dr. Loomis gives about just like, there's just nothing there. It's just pure evil. You know?
Fuck. And that's who we meet. So they go to the sanitarium. So it's like day before Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
We see Dr. Loomis, who I guess is the person who's...
been in charge of him for...
For years.
15 years.
And a woman coworker,
the nurse,
Marion Chambers, I guess, apparently. They are coming to take Michael to court. But it's like, there's all these people on the lawn that have escaped.
Mm-hmm.
It's very
clearly
like...
clearly patients, because they're all in their gowns.
Yes, it's very like, there's been a breach.
Mm-hmm.
And then Michael... So it's like the doctor gets out to try to open the gate because it's locked.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden you see, that's when you see like a hand come in and like grab the woman, pull her out of the car, or she sort of like fights to escape.
Yeah.
And she like runs behind the car. For a second, I thought he was going to like back the car over her.
He just wants the car at that point.
He just fucking pieces out. So he's now stolen an official
station wagon.
Yeah, a station wagon that is for an asylum. Like, it's very, it's labeled like, this is for crazy people. And what's interesting is at some point in, because you see a lot of stalking in this film, like where he's kind of following this Laurie character who we meet the next, kind of the next day. But there was one scene, and you and I were talking about it because it was kind of weird, where it's shot from point of view, but it's like he's leaving, but it's like the back seat of the car. It's got like the cage like you would see on like a cop car, but where they escort patients.
Right. You're like, well, he'd be driving.
Yeah,
he?
There was like no justification for him.
Unless it was just supposed to be a normal shot. Or was he pulled over? But there's no reason why he would be in the back seat behind the cage, though.
No. Yeah. So I think that was like a creative choice. It was an error. Or maybe that was something that they were going to try to add something and it got cut.
Maybe.
I don't know.
I mean, it's the same. I mean, who knows? You know, there's the air of the cigarette smoke from behind the hedge.
Oh, yeah. So there's a famous scene. So we meet Laurie and she's kind of like a babysitter. And like, she is dropping off a key. Like, her dad's a realtor.
Right.
She's dropping off a key at this old
home. She has the key and she has to drop off like some paperwork or something, put it through the mail slot.
Absolutely. And it's
And Tommy's like, what are you doing? The boogeyman lived. You can't go there. And she's like, yes, I can. I have the key.
Yeah. And this little kid, Tommy, what's his last name?
Doyle.
Tommy Doyle.
Yeah. So Tommy Doyle and the little girl's Lindsay Wallace.
That's right.
Yeah.
He's like, it's, you know, it's haunted or whatever. And she's kind of like, you know, you're cute, whatever. Fine. But then it felt like right after she was at that home, that's when we start seeing him lurk.
Yeah.
And there is a scene where like she's hanging out with her friends, Annie and Linda. And she's seen him go by. She kind of mentions it and they're like, whatever, you're being weird. But like she's walking home with, I think, Annie.
Where they're walking up to the hedge.
Oh, yeah. They're walking by a street and like, she sees Michael pop from behind a hedge, tries to tell her friend, and her friend's like, goes over to check it out and plays a whole kind of like practical joke. Like, he wants to see you and there's no one there. Mm-hmm. But that's what you're talking about. So if anyone doesn't know.
Yeah, that's where someone messed up and some cigarette smoke got into the frame.
Yeah, so apparently like the scene where they look down and like nobody's there, like a PA or a camera operator or something had been doing a smoke break like behind the building. And if you look really closely, there's just cigarette smoke, which is,
it adds to the charm.
It does. Yeah. And honestly, smoke is so, I feel like I could see someone writing that off, like looking at the edit and being like, are you fucking kidding? But then going,
what are you gonna do?
It's Halloween.
And also if they didn't have the option to reshoot, then
they're like, we have to
what you have
it.
on the budget they were on.
Which seems very small.
Yeah.
Which I'm interested to see when we get to the most recent one.
Yeah.
Because it's so iconic. And then, you know, like when things go well, the budget goes up.
Yeah.
And like, see how they, I mean, wasn't there like a alien, there was like a Jason in space something.
Jason X. Yeah.
I remember seeing the commercial for that. And I was like, this is ridiculous.
Oh, it's so bad. I mean, of course I've watched it like 3 or 4 times, but it's so bad.
Fuck.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. And you know what's like so cheesy, but I love it, is Freddy versus Jason. Oh, I love it.
Really?
Because so cheesy.
What I was about to say is Alien versus Predator, and I was like, that's not what I'm thinking
Well, I mean, I enjoy that too. I'm 100% Team Predator, but
I don't know anything about Predator. Well,
oh, it's such a good movie.
Fuck.
It's like, so good.
We'll have to, on one of our other episodes, talk about, we'll, like, the opening thing, we'll do, like, these, like, versus franchise discussions.
Okay, that's a good idea.
So we can talk about just, like, that dynamic.
Yeah.
So we meet one of our friends, Annie. Her father is the sheriff.
Right.
They're like getting high in the car and then turn the corner and they're like, oh, there's a sheriff. And we see them kind of pull over and say hi, which to me, it's like, as a teenager getting high in a car, I wouldn't say hi to my dad who's a cop.
I know.
But like,
I might wait like 10 minutes.
Right?
Yeah.
I know, it's like that car had a reek of weed. He had to know. Like, they rolled the window down and
like, there wasn't like a puff of, well, granted, they had a tiny little joint and they each took like one hit.
That's fair.
So there's that.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like a bong rip.
Yeah. There's like,
hey, oh my God, it's Michael Myers, man.
Just like coughing everywhere, like fucking boogeyman, bro.
Well, but I will say that there is a stoner character in Freddy versus Jason, and he gets really high. He's like, whoa, this is some good weed. And then I think, who is it? One of them kill him. I don't know.
He
really
immediately dies. He's like, this is crazy.
It's so good.
Fuck. So they pull over to be like, what's up? And this is where that break-in happened. But he had the mask before.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's like, I mean, I'm sure that there is an explanation for it, and I just don't remember. But yeah, you're like, well, he had that mask. You never see him without the mask, and you have seen him before.
Oh, yeah, because you see him poke around the hedge.
But he does stop to kill that mechanic, and he takes his jumpsuit. So he could very easily get a mask. I mean, he had a car. He can go take it from whatever he wants to take it from.
Yeah, you can also just, like, you know, fucking go buy a mask.
I mean, he just got on Amazon, you know what I mean? He just primed it.
Same day delivery. Sponsor us, Amazon. Send us both money.
And William Shatner masks.
Yes. Oh, my God. So many of them. Do you own a Jason mask. Do you own a Michael Myers mask?
I don't. Because I haven't, well, you know, the masks have changed throughout the movies.
Oh, I guess
they all look a little different. And everyone that I've seen, I'm like, oh, it's like the Rob Zombie version, which I love Rob Zombie, but I don't want that version.
You're like, that's not what speaks to me.
Yeah. Well, the one thing that is interesting, maybe at some point you'll watch the Rob Zombie remake, because he takes it to where you see Michael's childhood. You see how he gets that way.
Whoa.
Which is really interesting. Yeah, so he adds a bunch of exposition.
Which movie is that?
It's Halloween, just his remake of it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Is that the one we're watching at the end?
No. We're not watching
There's
the zombie
so
ones.
So many of them. Okay.
Yeah.
Gosh, that's crazy. So the sheriff meets up with Loomis.
Right,
doctor.
So Loomis says, hey, listen, I need to talk to you.
This guy's escaped.
Yeah, yeah.
And I feel like the sheriff is kind of like, I think it's fine.
Well, that's the thing I was saying earlier. Like, Loomis is kind of, in a way, like the Yoda character. He's the most knowledgeable. And he's the one saying, hey, everybody, listen to me. I know what I'm talking about.
And people are
and
just
they're
like,
all
sure.
Like, yeah, okay, yeah, we'll let you know. We'll get back to you.
The psychologists, they just worry a lot.
Right. Like, exactly.
There's a very dangerous man. And even in that scene where they pull over, the girls pull over and say hi to her dad, you see his car.
Michael was watching them the whole time.
What's impressive to me is, I would like to watch it again at some point.
And catch all the small little details.
See how many times I missed him. Because the amount of times he's in the background. Or
he's always
just
there.
Like,
that's what makes him like the boogeyman. He's always watching. And then he can disappear so quickly.
So quickly.
Yeah.
Which, like,
almost gives him a paranormal element, even though he is, I mean, a human. But then people kind of question that because he can't die.
Yeah, because fucking,
you know.
I mean, the way it, well, we'll get to that in the ending. But, like, there's a whole thing of them, like the girls talking about, like, what are you doing tonight? And Halloween, blah, blah, blah. But Lori's babysitting Tommy Doyle and Annie's babysitting the girl across the street, Lindsay Wallace. They're both oblivious that, like, I mean, Lori was kind of suspicious of, like, there's something weird going on.
Yeah. Well, Lori is like, she's very clearly presented as the smart one of the group.
Yes.
So she's the only one who's paying attention. Granted, he is stalking her specifically, but she's the only one who's like, no, wait. No, something's not right here. She's the only one really paying attention.
Yeah, who's like aware.
Yeah.
Relatable.
It's kind of, you know, like we were saying, it's kind of the cliche of horror is that the book nerd, the smart girl who doesn't have sex is not going to die.
Yeah, that's what you were saying, that like maybe that trope even started with this franchise. But it is a very classic thing where the good girls magically survived, you know, Sydney and Scream and like.
Well, Sydney, so that wound up, but they intentionally made her the exception to that rule. Because,
that
whole movie is about.
They talk about the tropes.
The rules of horror.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
Yeah.
I watched those freshly when they came out. And
yeah, no, they fucked. They did.
Yeah, fucking God. Yeah, so, and they make her, like, her friends, kind of these, just so
kind
carefree.
They just want to hook up, and they just want
to
smoke.
They just want to, like, talk to boys, and, like.
Which, you know, they're high schoolers, so they should be.
Absolutely.
You know.
Which I was shocked to find out, because I was like, okay, she's clearly playing a high schooler.
And she was 19.
She was 19, but she just I think you were right.
She
you had
seems so mature.
The way they dress her is
they
very,
dress her
like,
very like matronly.
Yes. But I think it's just, I see Jamie Lee Curtis as older than me. So maybe there's something psychological there.
It could be. But if you were to look at the three girls, you would know who's the kind of like slutty cheerleader. You would, because she's like, you know, the blonde with the pigtails and, you know, the little shorts.
They
you
go
would
very
know.
Cliche.
It's very kind of, but there are stereotypes in horror. There just are.
I mean, you know? Yeah. And I guess like, in a way, some people probably look forward to that because it's like this classic, like comforting thing.
Sure. It's the nostalgia of it. Yeah.
So they're kind of oblivious to what's going on. And then, okay, Michael kills the Wallace's dog.
Which is not cool, Michael.
Not cool, Michael. You didn't need to do that, but I guess if I'm a killer and there's a barking, noise-making dog, and I'm trying to sneak up on people.
I know.
Because sneaking feels like it's really his thing.
Yeah.
I wonder if anyone has ever filmed a fake. I'm sure it's been done. Like mockumentary of Michael, like, trying to show how he sneaks and how it's really hard. He's like, oh, God.
Oh, my God, that's a great idea. Like, he steps on a twig and it breaks. Oh, God.
Son of a bitch. And he's booking
but
it.
But you never hear him speak. You'll never hear him speak.
No.
And that's something that's addressed in the latest one.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so excited to, like, yeah. see that. Because, yeah, it's, like, heavy breathing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, are you out of breath? Is it the mask?
Oh, he might have nasal issues.
I mean, it's like he's someone who is at risk of COVID.
His face is clearly a little fucked up when you see it just for a split second.
Oh, for a second? It was like, oh!
I mean, it looks better than Jason's when you take the mask off, but it's still not good.
Well, yeah, which was weird because, like, he was a cute kid. So you're like, why?
Maybe just the evilness of his soul has rotted him from the inside out.
I mean, it's got to be something. So, like, the Annie girl's trying to hook up with her boyfriend and is, like,
Paul.
You know, and he calls to, like, you know, pick me up.
She gets stuck in the window in her underwear, of course, because why wouldn't she?
Oh, like, fucking.
She's like, I'm stuck, Lindsay!
Help!
Like, I know.
It's cartoonish, but hilarious.
A little bit. But then, yeah, so he gets her in the car.
Yeah, in the backseat of the car. And it's a very, I shouldn't say it's funny, but it's kind of campy.
Well, a lot of 70s and especially 80s horror is camp, for sure.
Absolutely. And I'm aware that, like, had I watched this in a theater.
When you're young, like, yeah.
It's such a different experience.
Yeah.
And because of the way technology has moved forward with the ability for them to do this gore and like all the stuff they do.
I think some, like, I don't like CGI at all. I think all these movies with these high budget special effects, it just looks like a cartoon to me. And like
it's
clearly the computer shit. And that's like the charm of Halloween is there's none of that shit in it.
Yeah.
It's just good filmmaking.
Fuck. I mean, so we see Annie die.
Right, and we didn't mention that there's a scene where you see Loomis go to the graveyard with the
sheriff, that's right.
With the guy who works at the graveyard. Oh, right, and they find out that Judith Meyer's headstone has been stolen.
Which is what alerts him to, okay, he's officially out and about.
Yeah.
This is where Michael's a concern. And he goes to the house of the Meyers with the sheriff.
Yeah.
And I feel like the sheriff's not really taking it seriously.
No,
he's like,
not.
No one's going to come here. It'll be like kids.
Right. So Loomis is like, cool, well, I'll wait here then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's kind of like, you don't know what this guy's
he's
capable of.
He's trying to explain to people, but how would they know that if they hadn't experienced it, you know?
Yeah. And it's also like, if you haven't experienced that and you hear someone saying it, it's like, you're like, okay, like maybe sure. You just like don't get along with this guy.
Yeah. Maybe you're exaggerating a little.
How you're like, when anyone goes like, oh, they're fucking crazy. Rarely
we've
do
all
you
said
think,
that about someone at some
yeah.
point.
But the point is, whenever you hear someone go, oh, they're crazy,
you're not
you going to
believe
like, they're
that.
Kooky. But
sure.
Like,
there's quirky and then there's
like,
homicidal.
Yeah, like severe mental illness, like psychopathic. You just go, yeah, you know, sometimes I get a little wound up.
Sure. I mean, we've all described our exes as crazy at
and
some
then
point.
You're like, oh, my, they did what? Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we see.
Oh, man.
The digging up of the grave.
Right. So,
and then we see what Linda, the other girl, and Bob.
Linda and Bob.
Which I laughed at. And then you made such a good point that you're like, oh, it's the 70s. Like, yeah, it's Bob and Linda. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's how people ended
those
up
would be
parents.
Like our parents. Yeah.
And it's just Bob weird to think of like all of our parents as like young people smoking cigarettes in a house and fucking. And you're
right.
Like, ugh.
Right.
Bob and Linda. But they're like clearly like after sex smoking. And then Bob in his stupid like glasses that are tinted. He goes downstairs to get a beer and Michael just fucking not only stabs him
to the wall.
He like, yeah, pins him to the wall with a knife.
Yeah.
Which I was like, okay.
You were like, wow, he's strong, isn't he? He can lift him.
He's very strong. I'm very getting all aroused by I know. Michael. I'm like, oh, he's a very strong man.
I had to put her in a cold shower.
Yeah. And then I thought it was kind of funny that he puts on a full sheet like a ghost costume, but then puts Bob's glasses
over.
See,
he has a sense of humor.
I mean, or something. So he goes in with her and she sees and thinks like, ha ha.
She's like, ha, see anything you like? And then she flashes him.
With, yeah, like.
And he doesn't say a damn thing. And she's like,
Like, why don't you want to? Like,
why don't you like my tits?
Such a fucking like high school girl thing. Like,
very that.
Why aren't you talking about how great my tits are?
No.
And like, she.
He comes up behind her, right? And she, so
that's
she's
right,
on the phone
right,
with Lori.
Oh, yeah. Fucking
and
being like,
Mike, and Michael comes up behind her and wraps the telephone cord.
That's right. But like, Lori's just picked up the phone.
Lori's like, is this one of your sex noises again?
Yes. Because it like, it does sound like at first.
It does.
It sounds like, did you just call me while you're fucking?
Which is like a direct commentary on the girl who fucks is going to die.
Yeah.
She's literally squealing like she's orgasming, but she's actually dying.
That it's like, if you fuck out of wedlock, you're a sinner and you'll be murdered.
It's very that. Well, that's the entire basis of Friday the 13th, by the way.
Oh,
it's a bunch of camp counselors who are having sex.
God, I love camp and now it's going to ruin it for me.
Sorry.
No.
Don't go to one by a lake.
Oh my God.
That sounds so
are
nice right now.
I
know. Aren't they all by a lake?
I want to go to summer camp right
me
now.
Me too.
Fuck
Let's
yeah.
Go.
He strangles her and it goes from like, to like, and she's like, is this a prank? This better not be a prank.
I know, but he's all like breathing in the background. So it does kind of sound like they're having
sex.
Yeah,
it sounds like fucking. Like, yeah. I would be like, all right, fuck you, dude.
Yeah.
And there's so much more. We're going to take a quick break because we just got really heated up.
Talking we
about
did.
Heady sex noises. And we will be right
Give us
back.
Like 5 minutes. We're going to take care of things.
Take care of business. We are back and we, you know, shit's about to get really fucking heavy. Mm. So heavy, I thought I was going to need my squatty potty. So we see the psychiatrist, Dr. Loomis, find the car. And now he's like,
he knows Michael's there.
Absolutely. So yeah. He's now like, okay.
He's on full like, okay. Got it.
Yeah, because we saw one scene of him hanging out at the house and like prankster kids came up.
Mm-hmm.
And he like whispered something from the bushes and they got fucking scared. So he was loitering at the house and now he's on the streets. Like he's out here.
Oh, right. It was those kids from the beginning that knocked the pumpkin out of
Tommy Doyle's hands.
Well, one of those kids is one of my bankers.
Your
banker? My banker at Wells Fargo. I met him at the bank. He helped me open an account. And we started like joking around. He's a super cool dude. Somehow horror got brought up. His name is Mickey. Is it Yablons or Yablons?
Did you look this up? Did you verify on IMDb?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I did. His dad was a producer. So anyway, so he was like, oh, you know, I'm in that movie Halloween. I'm like, I'm sorry, you're what? He was one of the kids that knocked the
pumpkin out
yes,
of his hands.
That's my buddy Mickey. How
oh
cool
my God,
that?
That's so funny.
I know Hollywood royalty, so.
I mean, that's
anyway.
So funny.
Okay, so
you
yes.
literally come from Hollywood royalty. Fuck you.
That's true, I do.
Has anyone seen a little show called Gilligan's Island?
Never heard of it.
It was only supposed to be a 3-hour tour. God, that's got to be so old to you. Thank you for faking your laugh.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Okay. So Lori is like, what the fuck is going on with that phone call?
Yeah.
I'm going to see what's up.
Right.
She goes and then it's like, bam, bam, bam.
Yeah. She finds Linda.
It's like they all fall out in the same
all
place.
Like Bob pops out of the closet and then
she
turns
she sees
and
the other
yeah,
one's
and
there.
The headstone's there. And then, yeah. And then Linda's there and it's just like her head all,
know. That's right. The headstone of his sister
yeah.
is just in a bed, which I still am not sure what the significance of that is.
Well, we'll get there.
Okay.
I
didn't want to ask, but I was like, I assume at some point those webs will be weaved a little.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's a whole mess of things happening.
So many.
There's a reason why he wants Laurie Strode.
Really?
Well, obviously he has a hard-on for her. You have to find out
why.
Yeah,
he's obsessed with her. Yeah. And my only thought through this movie was just that he happened to see her go up to the house.
Oh, I see.
Because she drops off those keys.
Okay.
So
we'll get to that.
My theory is, although he's so obsessed with her, it is kind of like, yeah, man, she just was like stopping by the house, relax. But
I mean, she has a great body.
I mean.
She looks amazing.
We've all seen it. True Lies.
Ah, so good.
Mwah, Jamie Lee Curtis. So she's like flipping her shit, you know, screaming, goes into the hallway, and then fucking there he is doing a classic pop-up as Michael seems to do. And goes, like, stabs her, but it stabs her in the arm.
Yeah, it's like, oh, really, Michael? The one time you miss? You happen to miss on the girl who hasn't had sex? Okay, Michael. Like, it gets her arm. And it's like, he had a clear shot, but he still doesn't quite get her. She falls down the stairs.
And then just fucking flees.
Like, yeah, it like doesn't work. So she winds up running across the street and like the most terrible thing. She's outside screaming, somebody help me. Somebody please help me. She goes up to this one house. The porch light turns on. This woman looks out the window. It was like, no, I'm good. And then turns off the porch light.
Yeah. Well, that's to me the most fucked up thing about like psychologically that moment. I was like, oh, because it's
like
Halloween.
You're alone. Like, no one's going to believe that this is real.
Like, you're just a fucking kid pranking people.
Yeah.
Which it's like, from a killer's perspective, brilliant.
Like, great timing, dude.
Yeah. Or just like, it's the same as like shooting people during 4th of July. Like, no one's going to hear you. Don't do it. I'm not advocating.
You're coming
like,
up with terribly good ideas.
Oh my God.
That's very The Purge of you, by the way, which is also a movie I'm sure you haven't seen.
I know, but I get the concept. And honestly, I am so scared for our society to go to that direction.
I don't know. I mean, the way things are going,
it's terrifying.
Yeah. See, that's no. Mm-mm.
Right. Did they just flat out ignore her? They don't even go, I'm sorry, is this a prank?
Right?
But then she's just fucked, so she manages to get back to Tommy Doyle's house, which, was she supposed to be there to begin with?
She was babysitting Tommy.
She left him to just go check on her friend.
Yeah.
Okay, so it wasn't like, his parents weren't back.
No.
Which it's like, awfully late, parents. I get it, it's Halloween, but you had a kid, get home.
They're like the parents from Hocus Pocus. They're just out all night dancing.
Dancing.
You know?
They just... That's the side plot. Is that
when Fred put a spell on them too? Oh, that'd be so cool!
Oh my God, if they had made it like that!
Oh my God, I want to make that movie.
They're just extras in that scene.
Oh my God!
Can you imagine? You would never know because you have no idea what they look like. But like, they're just.
I was going to say write that down, but we have it recorded, so
that's true. But also, this takes place in Iowa, Illinois.
Oh, Haddonfield, like outside of Chicago.
Haddonfield, outside of Chicago. Illinois. I was like, where is? Which it really is filmed in LA and Pasadena, but so that wouldn't work because they're definitely in Salem.
Mm-hmm. I think it would work. I think, you know, but listen,
we could still find a way for it to work.
They have brooms. They can go anywhere.
Yeah, maybe they go through like a weird transportation closet.
Totally.
But anyway, Michael somehow manages to get into the fucking Doyle house.
He's Michael Myers. He can do whatever he wants.
Which it's also like earlier in the movie, Tommy Doyle, little kid, is looking out the window because those assholes, your banker, made fun of him for like, oh, the boogeyman, be afraid of him.
And well, the kids were right. They were warning him.
He saw Michael across the street.
And he told Laurie, the boogeyman's here. And she's like, no, go to bed.
You need to relax. So now it's like, you're eating your words in the fucking worst way. So she's coming in so hot. For the like, and this kid who's already afraid of the boogeyman, she's like, oh my God.
She's like, guess what? He's here. Ah! So she wakes him up. He comes down, lets her in. And then she's like, oh my God. Meh.
Yeah. Runs for her life.
Yeah.
Manages to like, so she gets in, locks the door, but she goes to the phone. It's disconnected.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
Yeah. And then
how quickly that happened.
Yeah.
Where does she send Tommy?
Do they go upstairs? She says like, go upstairs and lock the door.
I think so. Yeah. She sends him because he's got a little friend there at this point.
Lindsay.
That's right.
Yeah, because Annie got rid of Lindsay so that Annie could have sex with Paul.
Yeah, because Annie is a whore.
Claire.
So she's like, go lock the door. And now she's just sort of fucking outrunning within the house, Michael. She goes and hides in a fucking closet.
Yeah, I mean, before that, like, remember when she's trying to get through the glass door and she has to break it, like, the rake is like...
That's right!
Yeah, yeah. But eventually he gets her upstairs, he's cornered her, and she decides, so she sends the kids to... Because she already thought she killed him once, but she didn't. So...
Classic mistake.
I know, so... That's the like stereotype in a horror movie. The killer's never dead. Every time you think he's dead, you have to kill him one more time because he's not.
Yes.
So the kids are like locked in the bedroom or whatever. She goes upstairs. She opens the French door to make it look like she escaped, but then she hides in the closet. So he figures out she's in the closet. He like punches it open. He bullies his way in. She grabs a hanger.
A coat hanger. God save. This movie is making me now reconsider the fact that I have all those fabric lined hangers. I'm like, maybe I should just have full on metal hangers.
Is it inappropriate to say that coat hangers have helped a lot of women over the years?
I mean, for years. Hangers have done the Lord's work for several women.
Maybe that was a commentary. I don't know. But anyway, so she stabs him in the eye.
Murder things like, at all ages.
Ow, my eye! Right? And he...
God.
Keep drinking. So
he drops his knife. I almost called it a sword.
A
very tiny sword.
A cooking sword.
Yeah, because he's like, I mean, good aim. She takes one stab and gets him right in that mask. Yep. In that much of a frantic.
Pretty great aim.
But she grabs the knife and stabs him once.
And then she's like, oh, cool. He's dead.
Like, you fucking idiot.
Yeah.
I think it's Lisa Curry. She's a comedian. Friend of mine, you know Lisa.
Yeah, so funny.
She has a joke about how when she first moved to LA, someone sent her a knife to carry when she walks at night.
Oh dear.
And the whole joke is about the fact that like that's not like you can't stab someone.
You can't
once.
Bring a knife to a gunfight.
Well, yeah, and it's just like it, God forbid someone attack you. You can't like give them a warning stab. She's like you are now stabbing a person.
Yeah, because
that is an activity at
right.
this point.
Unless you know how to hit an artery. Like you're
Which like fucking God bless
yeah.
you do.
Yeah.
So it's like classic. She walks out just to the doorway of the bedroom.
And she's all like, oh, I'm so tired. I can't go any faster than this. She's like going at a glacial pace.
And that's when she actually sends the kids out.
Oh yeah.
They come out of the locked room. And
yeah,
she's like,
she says, go across the street and call the cops. Tell them to come here.
And they run out in the... psychiatrist, Dr.
Sees
Loomis.
Them screaming and is like, oh, well, here, I found Michael.
Right? He's like, this is it. Because he's now on the hunt. He's got his gun out.
Totally.
Which is interesting because it starts with like him clearly being like very freaked out about the fact Michael's out. Like he knows what this guy's capable of mm-hmm. and he's scared of him.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just, it's so tropey. But she's like... against the door frame, like...
Ugh. Like all, like, exhausted.
Oh, God, what a trauma I've just been through, which rightfully so. And then you fucking, in the background, Michael...
It's the most iconic scene.
Lifts, he just, like, sits up.
The straight up, and then the head turn doesn't make a sound. You have no idea this is happening. Unless you see him, you have no idea that he's not dead.
And yeah. You're like, what?
Yeah.
The fuck? And I was thinking... He's going to get her right there in the doorframe. But I liked the choice they made of she steps a little. She's just like finally moving, steps a little out of
just
the doorway.
Almost misses her.
Yeah. But then fucking gets her around the neck.
But he doesn't have the knife, though. So that's good.
No, so it's just strangling. But we've seen him at this point in the movie. We've seen him fucking manhandle someone by the throat.
Oh, yeah. And throughout the series, you'll see a lot of very creative kills. That's the key to a successful movie, a horror movie. You have to have some really
mix
creative kills. Yeah.
At a certain point, it's like, we get it. He stabs people.
Yeah.
You have to, like, mix it
he
up.
He comes up with new things, for sure.
So, they're kind of in this sort of, like, she's fighting
tussle.
Him off a little, and then at some point, she rips off his mask very mm-hmm. briefly.
And you see his, like, messed up face.
Yeah, his face is, like...
It almost, you know what it looks like? It looks like Sloth from the Goonies.
I was just going to say, he just looks like,
hey, you guys. Yeah. Wait, have you seen the Goonies?
No.
Get the fuck out of my house.
I've seen a lot of clips from it.
Oh, dear Lord.
But he's got
oh.
that like, yeah, heavy eyebrow that's almost a unibrow.
Yeah.
It feels like, and like,
and like one eye that's bigger than the other.
Yeah, he's very like cartoonishly Neanderthal looking.
Very that, yeah.
I mean, I say that, by the way, if anyone wants to cancel me, I have more Neanderthal genes than 85% of everyone else on 23andMe. I have more than Joe Rogan. So fucking kiss my hairy knuckles.
Yeah, there you have it.
They're in this sort of, he kind of has a momentary hesitation, like, oh no, my mask is off.
He's like, oh no, don't look at me. Don't look at me.
And I wonder if this will be revealed. Is that a, I want to hide my face, or is that a, uh-oh, they know who I am. Like he thought he was.
We know who you are, Michael.
It's like, we already know.
We know.
Who you are.
You're not fooling anybody.
And in that moment, the psychiatrist, Loomis has broken in and he fires off.
He hits him right in the head.
Yeah, he shoots him in the face.
Yeah, and then Michael just stands there like, duh? Like, what happened? And then he shoots him like another few times in the chest.
And he like, he goes up there and like bang, bang, bang.
Finally.
Shoots him off the balcony.
Yeah.
Like, and this is a second floor and he like plops down and you see his body just like laying there. Mm-hmm. And there is this sense of like,
thank like, God. Oh, well, that's got to be it. Like that four shots have got to kill. Because he had never been shot up to this point. He'd been like poked in the eye and stabbed, but he'd never been shot.
Yeah. And you also go, okay, they did the thing where they, you know, oh, he's almost dead. Now he's got to be dead.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Loomis goes in for him and he's talking to Lori and she's like, was that the boogeyman? And he literally says, yes.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yes, I'm afraid it was.
And then he like goes and looks back out again.
And Michael's gone. And then cue the music, which whenever that iconic piano score starts playing, you know Michael's around. You know something's about to happen.
Fuck.
So you see that he's gone. And then I absolutely love the way that they decide to end the film. They end the film with just exterior shots of each
montages
house.
Montages of like all the things you've seen.
Which is just, I think, so simple and so awesome. It's just, it's so
it leaves you like he could be anywhere. You can hear him kind of breathing too, which is like
you know he's still out there, but you don't know where, and you see all these options of he could be here. He's tried to kill people in all these locations. Where is he?
And so they really leave the door open. I'm curious
for a sequel.
Yeah. I'm curious, like, I don't know what time this is at Halloween on this night. Like, does the sequel start right away?
What you're about to find out.
And that is, we're literally going to hang this up and find out. This movie is fucking, it's great. I love it.
You genuinely like it?
I do. I'll say that, like, I think for me, and I am not knocking the movie, I think having seen enough things with like more modern,
oh well, sure,
face up,
sure,
like gore,
this is very simplistic.
There's definitely parts, I mean, you saw it, there's definitely parts where I actually jump and I'm like, oh my God. But there's enough that's kind of corny, or that's, I have the opportunity to calm down a little bit at moments.
True.
Where instead of with other movies, I'm like,
you'd be hyperventilating.
But with the music too, it's like, sure, okay, now it's going to get crazy.
But imagine watching this film on a big screen in a dark room without knowing that I'm about to do a podcast, without like being like, I have to remember the plot. If you were just to purely relax and just let it take you over.
Oh yeah.
Maybe you'd have a different effect.
Yeah. Oh, especially if I was like high school age.
Sure.
Oh, I'd be shitting my pants.
The last time that I actually legitimately got scared and like felt uncomfortable was when I was 18 for my 18th birthday. We went to go see the remake of Texas Chainsaw Massacre with Jessica Biel.
Oh my God.
And so it was just me and my friend Michelle. And it was literally, we were the only two people in the theater. And it was horrifying because I was young. I was 18. Well, and
it's more horrifying that there was no one else in the theater too.
Yeah. I remember getting home that night and being like watching people, like, is like making sure no one was in my house and stuff, you know. That was a long time ago.
Oh my God.
I mean, I just turned 21, so that was like 3 years ago.
Oh my God. So when they did there was definitely like a re-release. I don't know if you guys heard about it. They did like a remake of the remake. Anyway.
Yeah, right. Right.
All right. Well, you guys, that is the end of this episode. If you have not already, hit subscribe and review on iTunes or wherever you listen to the podcast. We'd love a rating.
Yay.
Make sure you go follow Samantha. She's got just fucking cool shit all over her social media. You can even see some of your favorite horror movie houses right now.
At the Samantha Hale.
Yes. And we have more Halloween to come. I'm going to hang up this podcast and we're going to immediately watch the sequel. And
fantastic.
I will say, we watched the first one because of how our schedules worked out. We did it during the day.
This is about now to be a whole different.
Down, so
you're in trouble now. You in danger, girl.
Oh shit.
Do you know what movie that's from?
Yes, and I can't think of it, but I do know that movie.
Ghost.
Yes.
It wasn't technically a scary movie, but it is called Ghost.
I mean, how upsetting that it's not a scary movie.
I know, right? A movie called Ghost. Anyway, okay.
Anyway, we'll have more Harry Potter probably mid-November. We've also got our Bachelorette. Just look for the titles. If it's something you're into, great. If it's something you're not, you haven't watched, whatever, skip it. Be part of it. Whatever. We love you. We'll see you soon.
Yay.
This has been a Two Filthy Nerds production.